which was walking in light. And I just want to go over some of the things that we covered, because I brought out some things earlier on in some of the lessons that some of you may not have been here, so I'll just cover that the first four parts that we talked about. Number one was separation. As we said, what was the first thing that God did after creation in Genesis 1? He separated the light from the darkness. I said that we find that before he even started the creation of life, there were three separations. There was the light from the darkness, the water below from the water above, and then the water below from the land. So before God even started creating life, there had to be three separations. And that is kind of the typology or symbol of sanctification, because he separated things so that he could then use them in creation. So the first week we studied light from darkness, light from God's word. Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet." Last week we studied the light of the world, which is Jesus. And this week we're going to sum it up about walking in light. And I'm going to try and present a kind of new, I don't know if it's a new understanding, but make you think in a different way about holiness. Holiness and the profane. So for my scripture is from Ezekiel 44:23. "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." You know what that tells us? Is that there is supposed to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. In the weeks past, we showed how Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to be separate, right? And he did not obey completely at first, because it starts off in Genesis 12 saying, "And the Lord had said to Abraham." That's the first time we have a mention of Abraham. It says, "And the Lord had said to Abraham." And what is significant about that? It's in the past tense. So it kind of implies that this wasn't the first time God had spoken to him. But it was more than once maybe God had spoken to him. But finally, he left his city. But what did he do? He took everybody with him. If you read it, he took nearly half the tribe with him. He took his father and his uncles and his nieces and his nephews, and then they traveled as far as Haran, and then they stopped. They stopped. And again, it was 5 years before you see the God speaking to him. Finally, after his Terah died, he started moving again. But then this time he still had Lot with him. Now, Lot was not necessarily a bad person, but sometimes God wants to speak to just you. And we find out that it wasn't until after he separated from Lot. So you actually see that there were kind of three separations in Abraham's life, right? First, light from darkness. He left Ur of the Chaldees. Then he left his father in Haran. And then finally he left Lot. And it was only when he left Lot that God actually changed his name and gave him the blessing. If God wants to give you the blessing and you're all mixed up in everything else, you're delaying your blessing. It was only until after he was separated from Lot that actually God says, "Now I got you by yourself. Now I can focus on you." So we saw that we are responsible for the separation part. We cannot make ourselves holy, but we can separate ourselves. There's two parts to holiness. The first part is separation. But we can't make ourselves holy, but we can get ourselves in the place where God can make us holy when we start to separate. And we see those examples in Scripture. So walking in light, really, I believe, means walking in separation. Because what does light do? It separates. It separates darkness. It separates from chaos. And so I'm going to go over some of the scriptures that we went. So the first analogy of light is that light gives us information. Light gives us what? knowledge. So the first separation is we're separated when we come out of darkness. We're gaining knowledge. We're separated from our ignorance. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I said last week that that word acknowledge there is to know. So really you could read that as in all thy ways know him. The more you know of him, the more he's going to direct and lead your path. So we can be separated from the ignorance of not knowing God. The more you know God, the more you will understand God, the more you will trust him. Because trust comes from knowledge. It's very strange to trust somebody you absolutely don't know. That's a rare individual. It comes from knowledge and experience of that person, of knowing how they operate, that you can rely on them. So faith actually comes by hearing, and hearing comes by being obedient to the word of God and building up till you know that God can do some. Once you've been through some things, you know that God can deliver you, right? As I've said so many times, David was able to face Goliath because he said, he's helped me kill a bear and he's helped me kill a lion. If he had never had those experiences, maybe his faith and his trust would not have been as strong. So the first separation is learning about God, knowledge of him. The second one we can model after God separating the water below from the water above, and that is being separated from the profane. And I'm really going to be talking a lot about what the meaning of that word profane is. And I pointed out this amazing thing in John 17:16, that Jesus said about his disciples, they are not of the world. And that's a remarkable statement. We could understand when he says, even as I am not of the world, we understand that Jesus' birth was supernatural. It's easy to understand that he was not of the world, but how could he say his disciples were not of the world? They were born, they had family, and it turns out it's because they were separated to him. So once we separate ourselves to God, they had followed the light, because he said, I am the light. Once they were separated to the light, they became not of this world. So that was separating the common and the things that are plentiful and being unique. And that separation went on throughout all of Jesus' earthly ministry. He had 72 disciples at one time, right? But the more things he said, the less some of them could actually stomach it. So he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And they couldn't understand it. They were not going to be willing to extend him the trust to wait and see what that meant. And so 60 of them left him. And he deliberately didn't explain himself. He just turned to the other 12 and said, will you guys like to leave too? Sometimes, I've said so many times, God will say a hard saying into our lives with no explanation. Now it comes down to your choice. Do you trust him? Do you trust him when the hard saying, when it doesn't work out the way you think it ought to, where it looks impossible? Will you wait? Will you wait? Will you wait? They that wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. And of course, the revelation was on the Lord's Supper, right? When he took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body. I can imagine the 12 looking at each other and saying, now we know what he really meant. He wasn't asking us to literally eat his flesh. But they had to wait to see that. They had to trust him, even that they don't understand it. Job really got it right. He said, though he slay me, even when it looks like God is against you, and the devil is telling you God is against you, you know? That's what you have to do. So we have the separated from the profane. And then the third separation, the land from the water, I likened unto our old nature, because really, if you read it in Genesis, the earth was baptized. The earth was baptized. Peter said the land standing coming up out of the water. When God created the earth in symbol, he really baptized it because it came up out of the water. And I likened that separation to being separated from our old nature. Ephesians 4:22 says that he put off concerning the former conversation. What did I say conversation means? In one word, lifestyle. It doesn't just mean your speech, it means your whole way of living needs to be different. That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Because this old man wants me, I, and myself satisfied. Really, That's what it wants. It wants me, I, and myself fulfilled. If I let it, that's the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That means if you go by this flesh, it can deceive you into making some bad mistakes. It will make you do some bad mistakes, which later you say, I wish I hadn't done that. Amen. So this is still by way of review. The part that we're responsible for is the separation. The Bible's word for that is sanctification. And so that gives us the path to holiness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus gave us the example of sanctification by the way he lived, his lifestyle. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." And that's the modern word would be our separation, that he should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 goes on, "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel," again, in separation and honor. So we can't say, "The flesh made me do it." That will not work as an excuse for God, "The flesh made me do it," because he has given us the means to avoid getting into those situations. You know, in the Old Testament, nearly every time before God brought judgment, you know what he would do? He would bring a warning. He would bring a warning. And my wife and I were talking about this the other day, one of David's greatest mistakes. Well, he had two major ones, but apart from his affair with Bathsheba, the other one that he did was he went and numbered Israel. But the truth is, and 70,000 people died because of what he did. And it seems so unfair, like, God, well, it was David's fault. And it was David's fault. But the truth is, he was warned before he did it. If you read the story, Job, his general, came to him and said, "Listen, don't do this. It's not what God wants." And he didn't listen. He went ahead and numbered Israel. And the sin that he committed was, every time you number Israel, you are supposed to give an offering for the firstborn. And he didn't. So he left God no choice, because the law was already out there. So God could either say, "Well, because you're my best friend, you're my favorite, David, I'm going to excuse you." No. Gravity's the same here and over in Russia, because God does not want to change his laws just like that. Sometimes he will do a miracle, but God wants his laws. He created his laws for a purpose. So we see that sanctification then is something that we're responsible for. We can separate ourselves from things that we know are going to drag us down. If you know you have a alcohol problem, then you don't go into a bar for a Pepsi. "I'm only going in there for a Pepsi. I have a chocolate problem. I shouldn't go to certain aisles in Walmart, because they got Cadbury's chocolate in there." Right? I don't know what your problem is. You don't have to confess. But we need to separate ourselves. I'm always going to have a chocolate problem if I go down the chocolate aisle. You know why? This flesh is not strong enough. Immediately I can see the chocolate and I'm tasting it. Right? So we need to separate ourselves as the first step to holiness. Being separate doesn't make you holy. There are lots of groups that are separate that doesn't make them holy. But it is the step to which then God can finish the job. There are people, you know, monks and people who go into caves. They're separated. But just going into a cave does not make you holy. Right? But there are things that we can separate ourselves from. 1 Peter 1, "To elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Spirit through," how? "Through sanctification of the Spirit." That means through the Spirit we can be separate from some things. And I want to focus on this idea of separation and being different. You know, we get criticized for being different. But I want to bring forth another angle on being different today. So, walking in light. Walking in light, as I said, is walking in sanctification. Because light, the principal thing light does is separate darkness from what you can see. So chaos then, darkness, is the most common state. In science, they have this thing called entropy, a law. And what the law of entropy says is, to paraphrase it, is whatever is the most common is what everything's going to end up at. Or, you know, so if you have, I want to give a good example. If you had 30 marbles and one of them was black, all the rest were white, and you shook them and you put your hand into the bag, what's the chances that you pull out the black marble? It's 1 in 30. It's not the most common. In fact, the most common is you're going to pull out a white marble. What I'm trying to tell you is that darkness and chaos is the most common state, because you don't have to do anything to have darkness. Are you following me? God had to say, let there be light, to change the common into something that was unique. Now, I want to present to you another definition of profane. If you look it up, you'll see that not does it just mean, or it's come to mean today, something that's unsacred or the opposite of holy, but it also means common. So there are things that can be profane that are not necessarily sin, but they're just common. So that by being common, they're not valuable. They're not unique. They're not singular. So I want you to hold that thought. So holiness then is the opposite of being common, because what it's presenting is a unique state. And I'm going to try and really slow down, because I don't want to be making you think too deeply, but I want to present something. So walking to the unique state of perfection. Perfection, again, is just one possible state. You can't have two states of perfection, right? Perfection is unique. You either are at the perfect point or you're not. It's like balancing, say, a needle. There's only one point where that needle will balance. Any other point, and what will happen? It's going to fall down. So what I'm trying to show you is the word profane really means something that is common every day. And because it's common, it's not valuable. What's valuable is what is unique. Right? So at the turn of the century, when they were digging in a mine in South Africa, they found this diamond, and it was a pound and a half. A pound and a half diamond. The largest diamond that they'd ever found, a pound and a half diamond, about like this rock. And because they had never found a diamond like that, guess what? Do you think it was valuable? Yes, it was very valuable. It was sent to the queen, and it was shaved and carved up, and it became part of the crown jewels of England. It's called the Cullinan Diamond. By the time they shaved it, they made many other pieces out of it, but the main part's about, still, this diamond is about as big as an egg. And the reason why that's so valuable, because they haven't ever found one like that again. It's unique. And what I'm trying to tell you is holiness is like that. It's unique. It's the opposite of being common. It's the opposite of being common. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. Leviticus 27, God told the children of Israel, sanctify yourselves. That tells you that it's something we can do. We can't say, God, you do it all. But it does tell us, sanctify yourself. That means all it was saying is, separate yourself, because I, God, am unique. I am the opposite of common. There's only one of me. Last week I asked you to define the attributes of, what was it? A cow. What was, name me some attributes of a cow. Four legs. Sleep standing. But I said, all those attributes that you're going to tell me for a cow are not unique. Horses sleep standing. Many animals have four legs. Try and define a cow for me uniquely. Moos, but bison, I think, moo too. Do you understand what I'm saying? The attributes that we come in contact with daily are common. But just one attribute of God defines him uniquely. If I say eternal, there's no other definition, there's no other being that's eternal. I'm trying to show you a new definition of holiness. You know, a practical definition of holiness is something that is not common, that is different, that is peculiar, that is unique. And I'm trying to set that up to show you why we need to be separated. Not that common necessarily is a sin, but God does say, be ye holy as I am holy. Okay, 1 Peter 1:16, there it is. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And what it means when God says I am holy, he's really saying there is none like me. I am unique. I am totally unique. My attributes are just mine, are unique. So we can have something that's unclean, that's profane. We can have something that's profane because it's common. Not that it's necessarily bad or evil, just that it's so common that it's not valuable. You throw it away. In Solomon's day, the Bible says he was so rich that silver became common. They threw it away like we do paper plates. Can you imagine that? We'd all be bin dumpster divers if we were back. They would be, hey, I want that. Don't throw that away. But silver became so common that they threw it away. It was no longer good enough for the king's table. Everything was gold. Every single thing was gold. In fact, he got 25 tons of gold every single year sent to him. That's amazing, isn't it? So we see that holiness, one definition of holiness is something that is so unique and in perfection. And a definition of profane is something that not necessarily sin, but is so common as to be totally throwaway, worthless, useless. And this is what I want to get across today about why there are some things that are not necessarily sin, but they're so common as to not bring us any closer to God, because God is over here and he is in perfection. He is in separatedness. He is unique. And he has called us from the common, the unseparated, to himself. Are you following me? So I'm saying not everything necessarily that is profane is necessarily sin, but it's almost worthless and of no good use to God because it is so common. That's why he has made all of us unique. That's why our fingerprints are all different. He could have made us all the same, at least, you know, in a body. Maybe that would have gotten rid of all kinds of wars and stuff if everybody looked exactly the same. I couldn't say I'm better looking than you because you would look exactly like me. He could have done that, but that's not valuable to him. Why? Everybody would be common. But he gave us, every one of us, differences so that we would be unique and be valuable. But he can't really use that until we are separated unto him. I'm really talking about walking in light. So holiness, one definition of holiness you could say is separated and specially unique. Sister Johnny.
Okay, so on that thought, I was just thinking about, like, if it's common, then it says if everything that we do together for God is gonna, I'm trying to say that holiness is not based on the way you look then. Because if we all looked the same, dressed the same, with our skirts hanging down to our knees or past our knees with our shirts over covering us, then we will all look alike, so that would be common to God. So then it says that holiness is something that God have to do within inside of you.
What I would say is this way. The state of holiness is a two-part thing. The first part is separation. The second part we cannot do, but God makes us holy. Okay? But we are responsible for the sanctification part. I'm gonna illustrate how this works if you give me a little bit. I'm gonna get to fully trying to answer your question. Okay, so again, I'm trying to really get this point across that holiness is a unique state. Just as how perfection is a unique state. Anything that changes from perfection makes it not perfection and common. And in fact, is the reason why when God finished creation, there was nothing more he could do. Once he had finished on the sixth day and it had reached perfection, any change he made would now be not perfection. So it wasn't because God was tired that he rested. It was because he was finished. It wasn't because God does not tire, but he was finished. His work was perfect. So let's go on. So the profane, I want you to look at holiness as something that is unique, and profane as something that is common and unvalued.
I was just reading this just the other day, and I had a question about it, but it was late at night, so I didn't want to text anybody to ask the question. Well, okay, so reading that in Genesis, that God created the world in 6 days, which in his time is one day is 1,000 years. So does that mean, am I reading this literally, that it was really like more like 6,000 years?
I don't believe that.
Okay.
Because the Hebrew word is yom, and it literally means day. So, and Moses, who wrote that, and Jesus quoted Moses, in 6 days the Lord created the heaven and the earth. So I really believe it was a literal 6 days. Because of the Hebrew word that's used, yom, everywhere else, it literally means day. But I don't think that's a problem for God. He can do that. He can speak the universe into existence just like that. Jesus said, listen, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels right now. Right? I could call 72,000 angels right now if I wanted to. One angel would have been enough. In fact, he didn't even need an angel, really. He was just showing what he could do. If I wanted to get out of this, I could call 12 legions. A legion was 6,000, so that's 72,000 angels. Well, one angel, one night, destroyed 180,000 of the Assyrians. So, you know, it was no matter for God to say, let there be, and it is so. I have proved God's miraculous power. You know, I've had him kill the bear and the lion for me before, so I know personally that if God wants to say, let there be, absolutely nothing in this world can stop it happening. Nothing. The demons that came with the guy who had, you know, legion, they were begging him, please don't say the word. Don't say the word. Don't say the word, go to the abyss. Because if you say the word, go to the abyss, there's nothing we can do about it. We have to go to the abyss. Please, please, let us go to the pigs. And he gave them permission to go to the pigs. But if he had said, no, you're going to the abyss, that would be the end of the matter. There would be no argument with that. So I believe that God can literally and did literally create the earth in 6 days. And one Tuesday night, I'll go into all the scientific reasons why. But that's what I believe, and I believe that's what the scripture teaches. Now, to get back to what you were saying about holiness, becoming holy, I want to show you something that God did. Our part is to separate, but then there's a part that God has to do. In Exodus 30:22, first of all, nothing that's written in the Bible is there by chance or to just fill space. In Exodus, God is setting up the priesthood, and he's telling Moses all the stuff that he wants set up for this priesthood. Now, the priesthood were unique. They were special. They were a called out tribe. They had special regulations. They had special rules. There were things that they could not do. They could not own land like the other tribes. They were not given a portion of land. They may say, well, that's unfair. Well, it's unfair, but if you want to be used by God, this is your choice. If you want to be common with the other 11 tribes, go over there, you can have land. But if you want to be a priest, be able to function, to be able to come into my tabernacle, to stand before my presence, this is what you're going to have to do. Now, I want to show you how what God did here. Exodus 30:22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of cinnamon, sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. What he's telling him to do is the recipe to make this special anointing oil. It had to be made exactly this way. And of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of the oil, olive, and hin. I looked on Amazon, and you can go buy this if you want. Amen. I guess it's okay. We're not under the law now. But I wouldn't have done that under the law, because I'll show you something in a minute. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. This oil that was made was going to be exclusive. You know, I don't know how much that Regenerist stuff they charge for that, but some of those anti-age creams, they can get up into the hundreds, right? Well, this oil was really exclusive. It doesn't matter how much money you had, you could not use this. In fact, you were forbidden to make it because it was exclusive only for the Levites. If you made a copy of it, it was death, believe it or not. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. This wasn't for everybody. Neither shall he make any other like it. Nobody else was allowed to make any copies. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. And whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. This is how exclusive and unique this oil was to be. It was not to be common. It wasn't something that the whole of Israel, everybody could say, I'm going to buy some and, you know. No, this was unique, set apart only for the priests. Only they and the instruments of God could have this oil applied to them. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. So this oil was used in the consecration of Aaron. So after Moses made this oil, and Aaron had washed, he did his part, he separated himself from the people. He could no longer go near certain things. He couldn't go near dead bodies. He could, even if it was a family member that died, he wasn't allowed to do that. He had to separate himself. And then, symbolically, the part that was God's was this oil that was then poured over him. Once this oil was poured over him, he, he was now holy. He had separated himself, and then God had poured the oil over him. I hope you get the analogy. We separate ourselves, and the Holy Spirit makes us holy. And the Holy Spirit is not for everyone. It wasn't given to everyone in the Old Testament. It was only those who had separated themselves and were of the priesthood of Levi. And that then made them unique. There were certain things they couldn't do. There were certain people they could not marry. You read it. They could not marry anyone who was divorced. They could not marry anyone who was a widow. They could only marry very exclusively, because now they were separated. And God was trying to make a point here. So becoming holy means if you're going to really be holy, you're going to be different. You cannot be common. Not because we're trying to be stuck up or better than anyone. It's just what God is. His nature is unique and separated. And to approach him and to get to be him, we too have to be unique and separated. That's just how it is. on that picture there, they've got a bunch of attributes of God. I'm only going to put the ones that are truly just solely God, omnipresent. Only God can be everywhere at once. That's unique. Satan can't be everywhere at once. Thank you, Jesus, for that. God is ultimately sovereign. He is absolutely sovereign if he chooses. He is eternal. He is infinite. He's omniscient. Means he knows everything. He is all powerful. That means he can do anything that it is possible to do. There are some things even God can't do. He says it's impossible for God to do what? To lie. Because any impossibility to do with God has to do with his nature as being God. He is immutable, meaning he does not change. He doesn't love you today and hate you tomorrow, just like that for no cause. And I'm glad he doesn't change. He said, yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, he's holy in the sense of being completely separate. And that's why we cannot approach him unless we are covered with the Spirit, with the oil. That's when Aaron was able to minister after he had been through the consecration process, after he'd had this special oil anointed. Then he could function. Then he could actually offer the sacrifices. Then he could approach the inner sanctum on the Day of Atonement. Before that, if he tried to go in there without that stuff and was not separated, he would die. So walking in light, holiness, means being separated. And the reason is because God is unique and separated. Isaiah 45, 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. God is unique. His attributes are unique. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah 45, 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord and there is no God else besides me? A just God and a Savior, Jesus Christ. There is none besides me. So God's attributes are unique, Sister Johnny.
So, Pastor, would you say that because the way that man has displayed grace, that man has made it where grace seems to be common?
You could say that in a way. I understand what you're trying to say. In the sense that some people say that anything goes, God's grace covers everything. God's mercy will always try and to reach out to the sinner. But for you to get to God, you ultimately are going to have to be saved. He says, I'm going to call out a people. If my people that are called by my name, not somebody else's name, my name. We are married to Christ. When we get married to Christ, That's an exclusive relationship, right? If you marry someone, one of the parts of the wedding vows is to him or her only will you cleave. You can't be spiritually committing adultery, which is what Israel did a lot of the time, and that's why God was so mad with them. He said, I'm a jealous God. So, yes, God's grace applies to everyone, but once you come to him, you are saying, I commit to you. When the law was read, when Moses came down from Sinai and he brought the tablets and he read it, and all the people said, yep, we sign up for this. They then were saying, I do. It's like when you're at the altar and they said, do you take this? And they, all of Israel said, I do. And he took the book, took the hyssop and he sprinkled the blood. That was the covenant. Once they said, I do, and they became his people, then you have to live up to the covenant. You have to be separated. Before that, you are common. And yes, God is wooing you. But once you've come out of the common and then you say, I do. That's why when we baptize someone, we always want them to say, nobody forced you to do this. You do this freely. You confess with your mouth. And when I baptize someone, I say, upon the confession of your faith, I now baptize you. Because it's what they're doing. They're saying, I do. You've just signed up to be part of the bride. And when you're part of the bride, you can't just sleep around with anybody. That's not part of the deal. When you're not part of the bride, it's expected who you are. I have no commitment to you if I'm not married to you. But once we're married to each other, there's an expectation right? I would want to find my wife at home, right? She would want to know where I am. There's an expectation that I am only going to be for her, right? So walking in light and holiness means that we are separated unto God, just as the way that once they were the tribe of Levi and they signed up to be high priests and that they had washed themselves and they put on the holy garments. That's the stuff we got to do. But then the oil represents God's part. Once the oil was put on, now they could minister. The high priest had 8 pieces of things on him. The regular priest had 4. But there were 8 separate pieces that I'm not going to teach on all of them tonight, today. But they all represented something. And of course, the final thing was that oil that was so exclusive, nobody else could even make it. You were caught trying to copy it in the Old Testament, it would be death. You would be cut off from your people. Because God was trying to show and teach. I want to teach you the difference between the profane. In Ezekiel, the first scripture, I said, you got to teach them the difference between the profane. We are supposed to be unique. Now, not above people, not better than people, but unique. God's bride. That's what we are, God's bride. And if we're God's bride, then we got to live like God's bride. Let's go on here. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses. See, when you start to be in God's presence, we're talking about walking in light. Once you start to walk in light, you're going to glow. There's going to be something different about you that people are going to notice. We should be some of the happiest people. That tells you how close to the light you're walking. Because if you're always grumpy, it means that you must be near the gray part of the light. Right? There's something you're not letting warm you up. And I'm guilty of that. My wife can tell you that. I'm guilty of that. I've been grumpy this week. I confess. I've been grumpy this week. So pray for me. I want to get to the source of the light that then Jesus can say, we're not of this world. Not only did he say he was not of this world, but he declared his disciples not of, which is amazing. That's amazing. He said they are not of this world. You know what he was doing? He was equating them with himself. He says they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. He had risen them to put a special uniqueness. Now, if they're not of this world, then they're strange. They're different. They're unique. They're special. They're not common anymore. Because everybody else is of this world. If you see someone and they're not of this world, first thing comes is alien. Right? So if you're going to be a Christian, you have to get to the point where Jesus can say about you, they're not of this world. Think about that. Think about that. Not of this world. What makes them not? Because they were close to the light all the time. It wasn't that they glowed or they had spikes or green hair. But they were in the presence of the Son of Light. Same thing happened in the Old Testament with Moses. Just because he had been in the presence of God all for all this time. Exodus 34, 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Suddenly he was like, not of this world. Because normal people's face don't shine with light. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them, because this was too kind of scary and odd to have his face be shining at them. But walking in light is separateness. It's not a question of sin. What I'm trying to show is profane just means common, so common as to be valueless. Why do we pick up diamonds as opposed to coal? They're both the same chemical. Did you know that?
Yes, right.
Carbon. But one has been through pressure and fire and temperature and been under millions of tons of pressure and becomes a diamond. The other one is so common, it's been lying around there and it's, you know, it's good for fire. That's about it. But you're not going to put it on your finger and go like, Why? I'd like to see any of you women walk in here with a piece of coal on your hand. Look what he got me. A lump of coal. Because it's common. None of you are going to boast about that. It's not valuable. God wants to boast about you. He wants to be able to say, look, look what my blood has got. I've called out people. They're not common. They're my diamonds. The Bible says that's what he's going to make up his treasure. He wants us not to be common. Amen. So walking in light, and I'm sorry to keep hammering this, but I'm going to keep hammering this. Part of God's holiness stems from the unique attributes of his nature. What makes God holy? Not the whole part, but it's because of his uniqueness that nothing about God is common or you can find. Sister Johnny.
Pastor, I just want to know why we as, and I know we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ, but why we as people of God, even if we've been saved 20 years or 15, 30 years or however many years, why is it that when the Lord speaks to someone to have them to speak to us, why is it that we can't accept it? Even when we know it's the word of God and it lines up with the word of God, why is it that we get all out of control and blowed up about something that we already know is true?
That's an easy one. It's this flesh. This flesh. This flesh doesn't want to be told anything, right? This flesh doesn't want to be told anything. In fact, the test of your Christianity is whether you can be told anything. That's the test, right? Jesus said to Peter, well, you guys want to leave too? You guys want to leave? The test, if you want the blessing, it comes with humility. Jesus ignored that woman who came, who was a Syrophoenician woman, right? He didn't even talk to her. He talked to his disciples, and she, please do something for her. Well, the dogs, you know, don't deserve any of the food. Now, most of us would say, who are you calling a dog? We'd have been ready to you know, are you calling me a dog? But she humbled herself. It was a test. It was a test. The test of your Christianity is whether you can take correction. You know, if you can take correction, then there's hope. But a lot of us, we get all in our flesh. Who is he to tell me? I've been, you know. So it is the fact of our flesh that we're dealing with. We're still in this dust that wants to do its own way. That's what Paul said in Romans, right? That the I see two laws that war against the spirit. And that's why we have to try and die daily. That's why we have to separate ourselves from the things that we're easily, the Bible says, to lay aside every weight and the sin. It is easy because Satan knows our weakness. You know? Don't put a Cadbury's chocolate bar in my freezer. Because if I open it, it may be. It may be. It may be. Now, if it's not in the freezer and I look, I can't get it, and I probably am not going to go all the way out to the shop. Right? So if you know you have a weakness, don't put it in your freezer. Don't put it in your freezer. So walking in God's light is also understanding that God's holiness, when we say holiness, it's also due to all of his characteristics being so far from common. Imagine if you could buy eternal life. You can't. Just as how you can't buy that Cullinan diamond because they won't sell it to you. It's so valuable. That's why God is holy, is because all of his attributes are unique to himself. But guess what? He wants to share his uniqueness with us. But he's not going to come to us. We have to come to him. Here's something that's common. How many of you care for ants? How many of you have been walking along and said, oh, look at that, there's an ant. Oh, poor ant, I'm going to look after it. Why wouldn't you go looking after ants? Huh? Why wouldn't you go looking after ants? When's the last time you even looked at an ant and studied it and picked it up and petted it? Because there are billions and billions, untold billions, they're common. They're like, you know, ants are ants. So they're not very valuable, and we don't even think about ants. Let's reverse that. Consider God thinking about us. There's 7 billion of us on this planet. We're common. That shows you God's love and his grace that he would even stop. Because we have become common. Now, that's not where we started. In Genesis 1:27, it says we were created in his image. We were unique. Adam was called a son of God. His attributes were, I believe, just like Jesus. So there's a whole bunch of ants that are common. But Jesus in the New Testament tells us that for us to be saved, we're going to have to be different, unique. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, everybody is going that way. The vast majority is going that way. And many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, only a few that find it. So, being a Christian, a true Christian, you're going to be in a minority. At least that's what the scripture indicates. Jesus said, everybody is going to be going the other way. And we see a great example of this in the Old Testament. Walking in light sometimes means standing out, being different. Daniel chapter 3, verse 9. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar built this gold statue. And he commanded that at the time of the music, the time of the party, everybody had to get into the dance. Pop them pills. Everybody else is doing it. It's free. But then these three Hebrew boys refused to. And here's the thing. There was no way for them to hide this now. If everybody else is doing it and you're not doing it, you're going to. Well, what? Who do you think you are? They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews. Now that tells you something. What does that tell you? There were a lot of other Jews that did. That's what that implies. That's what that implies. There were others who knew the truth, but did bow down because they were afraid. There were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had separated themselves from the Babylonian system of idolatry and worship. Now that was hard because where were they living? They were living in Babylon, where everybody else was worshiping Marduk and Bel and Nebo and all these Babylonian gods. And yet here they were living there and not doing it. They did not fit in. They probably stood out. They were not party harding. And you know the story. He threw them into the furnace, the fiery furnace. But of course, they were not alone. I see four. Didn't we throw three in there? You know what they had done? They had separated themselves from Babylon unto Jesus. So guess what happened? Jesus was with them. Because now they had separated themselves and he could be with them in the fire. Now, here's a scripture. 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm almost finished. But ye are a chosen generation. In other words, we are the Levites of this age. To be the Levites of this age, Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Means you've got to be separated. A peculiar people. Would anyone say you're peculiar? Can they say you're peculiar? The people around you that don't come, can they say you're peculiar? Have they heard you cuss up a storm? Have they heard you say, I can't do that, I've got to go to church? I can't go to the team bowling event. I'm sorry, that's on my church night. You're a bit strange. We are supposed to be. We are supposed to be. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I looked up that word peculiar. And it does mean different, but really the word that it's based on, it means to reserve. Means we are reserved to God. Meaning we can't do what everybody else does. We shouldn't be doing what everyone else does. We are reserved to God. It says to make, to remain for oneself. That means you are self, what's the right word here? You are stopping yourself doing everything else. You're controlling yourself. That's what the word really means in the Greek, that it's based upon. To get oneself or purchase, you are purchased. That means Jesus said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That means you can't just do what you want. Paul always started his epistles, I, Paul, a servant. Really the word is slave. Slave doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what the master tells him. When we are walking in light, if you could stand with me, we are going to be different. Don't seek to be common. That means there's not every fashion in the world that we should be doing. Not everything is sin. Paul said not everything is everything is lawful, but everything is not convenient. He was meaning these things are common. We are supposed to be a light set upon a hill. That means to lead people from darkness to light. But if we're the same as them, then we're common. We're not distinguished. So in this month of consecration that we have been taking, I want to end with this, that we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation, just like Aaron. He did his part. He was commanded before he was anointed, you're going to have to bathe, that means baptize. You're going to put on special vestments that were only for him. And then this special anointing oil representing the Spirit was poured over him. Then he was deemed holy. He couldn't just touch everybody because he didn't want to get defiled. Now he could come before God and minister. Do you understand? If you want to be blessed, if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to be a peculiar people. You can't be common and profane. Not necessarily that it's sin. Understand what I'm saying. But you have to be called out. You have to be separated. Just as it said in the New Testament church, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work. If you want God to use you, you have to be separated. He will not change. You're going to have to change. I'm going to have to change if I want to be used by God. And as we close this month of consecration, let's not stop just because we're not focusing on it. But we should continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. It goes on to say in verse that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of what? Darkness. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? So that you can be used. The three separations in Genesis were so that he could then create life. The separations that we're called to is so that we can also let his life be created in us. So you can, that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of this darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. You were common. You were not special. But now are the people of God, which means you are special, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's what God has called us to be different. It's not wrong to be different. It's not because we're stuck up or think ourselves better than anyone. It's because we want to be in his bride. I want to say I do to him and then keep that covenant so that he can bless me, that he can use us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's ask God right now as we close this month of consecration. that we will walk worthy, that we will be the chosen generation. Father, we just thank you right now for your word, for your anointing.